Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
All right, good morning, everyone. Cold enough for you? See, if you give your tithes and your offerings in, we could afford to put the gas on. That's a wee joke. If you're watching online this morning, you're really welcome. With people watching from everywhere, England and Newton Abbey and Australia. I think there's some Australians watching, and our church family out in Indiana, Nineveh, the Knights, the Mighty Knights. It's great to see you if you're watching. I'm assuming that you are. And so, are we good? Are we good? Are you sitting here thinking, keep it quick, Andrew, because we're foundered? So foundered is a word if you're not from Belfast, which means not warm. It means that you're slightly cold. Do you know, I always know I'm cold when the tips of my fingers are cold. You know, I can feel it on the tips of my fingers to go, whoo, it's a wee bit nippy, isn't it? Hey, but sure, it's great. Has everyone got their copy of Fearless? No, if you haven't, pick one up today. Do you know what? Let's give Penny a big round of applause putting this together, because if you're watching online, do you know, through lockdown, we actually produced an absolute ton of stuff, which we're going to start and put together and get out. But this was just like a very quick put something together. It's actually really, really good. So it's a free Devo, 30 days. Great way to start your new year, Fearless that way, you see. And if you haven't got it, go pick one up. If you have got it, are you enjoying it? Isn't it good? So you can see who the brains of the operation is, to be fair. Whenever I was going to do a devotional, but it would be 30 days of colouring in with Jesus. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know what I mean? You know, like when you sit and you go, I know, we'll do colouring in again. Join the dots with Jesus. Join the dots with Jesus, 30 days. Wouldn't that be brilliant? Right, so let me get cracking. You're going to need to tune in, because I'm going to start. How's your thanks going this week, folks? Remember I said the way to break... I'm not happy, I don't like this, I don't like that, the other. It's the spirit of the world today is all about, in fact, it's not even the spirit of the world today, it's always been this way. Get your eyes off Jesus and off his promise, onto you and what's going on, onto some of the difficult stuff around you, and the devil has you kind of boxed up nice and neat. And what I said last week was, what do? We lean into grace. Remember, rejoice always, you know, give thanks and all that stuff. Remember, you're going, that's impossible. I can't do that. But when we actually looked at what it meant, it's like we lean into grace. From that place, what happens? We exchange all the weight of the world for the perspective and the divine persuasion of Jesus. He gives us faith. So we have to turn to grace to lean into it. In that place, we exchange all the guff. And from there, we declare, right? So we move from a place of being afraid to a place of authority. And from that place, we declare, eucharisteo, your grace works well. Exactly the same words that Jesus used when he's facing death itself with Lazarus, when he was facing lack in terms of feeding the 5,000. Before you see the breakthrough, there is a process of leaning into grace, receiving grace, and declaring what grace has already done. Amen. That's a flipping, what we call in Belfast, a belter. Honestly, and if you didn't get saved as you listened to that, sweet Jesus, take them home now. I mean, honestly, I even encouraged myself in that first, to go, really? And what I actually said was, that's God's will for you. Oh, God, what do you want from me? What should I do? Where should I go? Where should I live? All that stuff. Who should I marry? Who should I not marry? Should I give or not? All this kind of stuff. And you kind of go, actually, what God's will for your life is, the place of transformation, you see, is where you encounter Jesus face to face. Because this whole walk that we have in 2022 is not one of behaving, it's one of beholding. Do you understand the difference? And so behaving and doing and saying is one thing, but that only flows from a place of beholding Jesus. So leaning into Jesus, turning towards him, exchanging, and therefore from that place declaring. And so if I can encourage you in anything, is get your thanks on in 2022. Get your thanks on. And remind yourself every day. Remember I said, if your list of thanking God and blessing God is not longer than your list of needs from God, then you're going to find yourself in a place where you are going to be continually focused on the wrong things. But there is something about grace. There is something about us understanding that in his grace, it's not about what we don't have, but it's reminding ourselves of what we do have. And so I'm going to speak into that for you. Is that okay? Okay, we're going to do a few weeks. And what I realize is this, is sometime in end of November, December, as I was thinking about the new year, I just had this thought that came to me. And it might be Jesus, and it might just have been me. The jury's out. You know the way these preachers get up and they go, oh, I had a word from the Lord, 3:49 a.m. Jesus woke me up, slapped me on the cheek and said, you shall preach this word. And yet all the people went, amen. I didn't have that, but I kind of had a sense. Is that okay? And in that sense, you're probably going to need to trust me. Because I'm going to lay a foundation today for some things that I'm going to... I'm going to talk about... I haven't actually got something where I'm going to nail this series in terms of what it's called, but it's all about the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit himself. Because it struck me that if you've been coming to Exchange for a while or you listen online and you're doing that, there was something in my heart and my spirit that when Andrew, you know, I grew up with an understanding from I was no height because of the way that I was brought up in church, with an understanding of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Understanding that, listen to me, under grace, when we have the word, right, we have Jesus, that much we know, right? Isn't that right? So in the word, we see Jesus and we see his work. But you don't have, listen to me, because this is going to be clumsy language, but I want you to hear the heart and the spirit of it. Grace is not just something else, another kind of doctrine or theology that you relate to. Grace is about Jesus and your relationship with Jesus. You don't have relationship with doctrine, you have relationship with who the words tell you about. Does that make sense? And the only way that that happens, and if you've been in grace for a while, I think it's the best, you know, it's the best kind of place to be, right, where it's so focused on Jesus. I mean, because it is Jesus. Grace is Jesus himself. He is grace personified and grace embodied. Now, the thing is, if we're not careful, what happens is we live powerless lives because we don't understand that Jesus himself comes to dwell and live in us. Do you understand? It's not, our church believes this, and it's nicely packaged doctrine around grace, but it's a living encounter where you experience what the words tell you about what Jesus has done, where they come off the page and they start to become your lived experience. And that only happens not through anything else other than the embodiment of God in you. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. That's who he is. And I want to start today. We're going to talk about how to be led this year. You know, how to hear the Holy Spirit, how to hear God lead you in grace. What does it mean to be empowered by God through gifts? What about baptism of the Holy Spirit? And what about speaking in tongues? Because all of these things are incredible gifts given to us for the purpose of knowing God better, of experiencing him better. And so, church, you're going to learn and you're going to grow. Is that okay? Today, I make no apologies for it. I mean, I love to give you a big belter and come on. But today, I'm going to teach you. And I think it's really important that we do that. Let's not snack just our way through 2022, but let's get into the meat of what the Word of God says and have a really good understanding of how we are supposed to relate to Jesus himself, because Jesus is not physically present here. Do you get that? And I'm going to say that's okay. Jesus actually said it's better that he's not physically present. And so he has to go away. And when he's going away, he would send us the helper. And so some of us need to recalibrate and not just go, I have a relationship. Our church is a grace church. I go, well, whatever. All right? If we simply reduce what we do to a doctrine which is not the same as somebody else's, then we're completely missing the point. Shall I show you that from the word? Let's get stuck in. Does that sound okay? Oh, aye. Brilliant. Okay. I actually can't feel anything below my knees right now. I don't know about you, but if I kind of trip over, it's because I can't feel my toes. So it says in Exodus 9, so if you want to know the heart of God for his people, this goes right back to the very beginning. In Exodus chapter 9, he says, it was for this purpose that I have raised you up. And that's you, okay? So he's talking about Israel. And by Israel, by extension, under the covenant, the new covenant of God's grace, he's talking about every believer. And why? What was the purpose? I raised you up to show you my power. I'm going to bring that into the New Testament in a minute. So that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. The word power there in Hebrew is koach, and what it means is my ability, my strength, my force, my fruit, my wealth, my wholeness. And so God saved you. Jesus saved you for a couple of purposes. Number one, it was so that you could live the life of fullness under his grace. No half measures, no living sort of half sick and half provided for, so that you could experience the fullness of God's life in 2022. And nothing short of that. Does that encourage some of you this morning? But also, there's not a full stop there. It doesn't simply stop with, so that I can show you my power. It says then, so that my name may be proclaimed in all of the earth. So the whole point is that we get to know Jesus, we get to know him better, and that something in us, this power of God himself, the spirit of grace living in us and through us, is something that the world sees, and then they are attracted to the one who lives in you. I have been on every kind of evangelism team possible. When we were kids, we had Thai teams, tow teams, missionary teams. We went, I can't even remember what they're called, but I just remember that's what the acronyms was. We went everywhere. You know, we used to jump out of hedges at unsuspecting passers-by with tracts in our hands and go, right now, I mean, to be honest, you'd probably get a dig in the mouth today if you did it, you know what I mean? You know, you'd go, hello, people, what? Like, you know, and I'm not knocking it. I think it's brilliant. I think many of us need to have more of a heart to share. But let me tell you something. A life fully alive with the power of Christ and the power of grace working in you will be so attractive to people. They'll want to know, what is it about you? They'll walk away from you going, what's the difference here? And it's not because you'll have a relationship with a set of doctrine. It's because whenever they're around you, spirit to spirit, they feel it. Because it's in people. They respond to truth. They respond to grace. Why? Because that's how they have been made. And so my encouragement for you today is for the people in your world, for the people in your life, for the people that you go, I wish they could just see Jesus. They're going to see Jesus through you this year. But not because you're going to ram grace down their throats, because quite frankly, that will not work. But because whenever they touch your life, whenever they not just hear the words that you speak, but they sense it in who you are because of the indwelling of the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, then things will change. Because that was God's purpose from the very beginning. So I want to quickly tell you, just lay some foundations. Because, you know, in 1 Corinthians 4:20, it says that this kingdom that we talk about, And I get a lot of the talk about the kingdom of God. I get that. But what I love about grace is it's not so much about the kingdom, but it's about the king. Big difference, right? We're not chasing all the stuff that I grew up with. That's not what it's about. And people talk about kingdom, kingdom, kingdom. And I go, no, give me the king, the king, the king. Because when I get the kingdom follows. And it's possible to have a form of godliness but denies the power right in the middle of it. Do you understand that? 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, this kingdom of God, where Christ Jesus is the king, doesn't consist just about talk. We don't talk grace all the time, but it's in power. It's dunamis. The word koach in Hebrew is now dunamis in the New Testament. It's used 120 times in the New Testament, in fact, and it means the ability for you to perform through the ability of God in you. It's God working in you, through you, so that you can live a life that is empowered by grace. And when your life is empowered by grace, you will see the fruit of grace in your life. Somebody give me yes and an amen. Because church, I don't want us to be, and if you're watching online, you know, there's tons of great grace teaching out there, not as good as you'll get here. Maybe that guy in Singapore has something going on, but I don't know, jury's out, just going to say that, right? We love you, Pastor Prince. But the thing is, it's not just about filling your head, but to have such, as we encounter Jesus in his word, that our hearts explode with the experience of grace itself. Do you know what that means? Say if you're sick, you walk in healing. When you're depressed, what happens is you receive joy and fullness and everything else that goes along with it. When you're living in lack, the Spirit of grace himself will lead you to that place of fullness. Do you understand me? Where there's brokenness and fracture in your relationships, the Lord brings wholeness and completeness supernaturally for some of you. That's what's going to happen. Not because you know the word, but it's because the word that you have received is now in you and you are living it with Jesus and not learning just about him. Is that all right? Brilliant. There are some common misconceptions that we just need to nail in the head about the Holy Spirit. Because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, people, number one, they get weirded out, right? I've been there. I remember the Toronto Blessing coming back from holiday and thinking that, like, quite frankly, the lunatics had taken over the asylum, all right? And I'm not joking. I literally freaked out. Going, I don't know. I love the Lord, but this is totally freaking me out completely. That was just my response. Don't judge me for it. I'm not saying it wasn't God in the middle of it all. That's not what I'm not saying. What I'm saying is we kind of, there's a theme which goes, when the Holy Spirit is moving, you're going to end up on the carpet, barking like a chicken, and running around the place with your underpants on your head. Do you know what I mean? There's a vision for you right there. And quite frankly, if you're not doing that, then somehow you've not received the Lord. Right? Now, I'm not saying that when the Lord touches you, right, that there is some physical manifestation of that. But I remember I was the guy, every flipping prayer line, right? Like I said, like the church looking like the first 20 minutes of Saving Private Ryan, right? Film reference for PJ. And me standing there going, he's passed me by. I might not even be saved. And so I'm not going to lie to you. A couple of times I just did the whole and went for it. Just thought, you know what, can't beat them, join them. And then, but then you had a dilemma because you'd lie on the carpet. And nobody ever tells you this, right? I see you're laughing because you know what it's like. At what point do you get up? That's tricky. No one ever says, when the Holy Spirit touches you, you've got 5 minutes, then get up. So I find myself many times eating carpet, just looking up, going, is it safe yet? Because if it up too quickly, then clearly I wasn't touched enough by Jesus. But then there's, come on, stop taking the mickey, mate. You know, the man's preaching and you're still down there. Anyway, so what I'm saying is terrible, isn't it? How awful to talk that way. Anyway, other people go, the Holy Spirit's not for today. It's called a dispensation. You'll hear this. There are dispensations in the church, and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit was at the time of Scripture, but it's not something for today. So my question for that is, show me in the Bible where it says that, you know, we see that Jesus was taken back up, and he says, because I'm going, I'll leave you my spirit, right? I don't read anywhere where it says, and the Holy Spirit then said, I've had enough too, I'm away. So I just, in terms of like, unless I mean, this is where some Bible scholars are going to go, actually, it's in Habakkuk 17, verse 40, but I actually haven't seen it anywhere. The third one, it's all just a wee bit misty, right? Not very clear, deep and mystical. People who know about the Holy Spirit are just, they have big long beards, and they stroke them. Just the Spirit was saying to me, Do you sense that Spirit? I'm going, no. Should I be sensing something right now? Just really sense what the Spirit said. And you're like, oh, Jesus, take the wheel. I have no idea what's going on. The last one is the Holy Spirit's your goalkeeper. We're going to do a whole week on this. Right? Continually pointing out your faults. You know what I mean? Oh, the Holy Spirit, he'll get you. You might be sitting there thinking nobody's looking, but the Spirit of the Lord knows. And as soon as you do it wrong, the Spirit of the Lord's a wicket keeper, and he's going to knock your melt in, because that's what he's there for. That's a dangerous one. That's the one that religion has done the biggest number on us, believing that the Spirit of grace is the source of all the negativity and the negative feelings in our lives. It's like God's, do you know that? Like the Lord, the Holy Spirit is there just to keep you reminded that God's disappointed with you. Do you know that no matter how well we think we're doing, there's just that wee gap where we're just not experiencing, where we're just not good enough. We're going to talk about that. Because the Holy Spirit will continually prod you, some people say. And the Holy Spirit's job is to go, this is where you've got it wrong, and this is what you need to do to get it right. So in all of those four things, I'm being a wee bit flippant with you this morning, to have a laugh. I'm not, you know, but let's be honest. We can have a bit of a laugh about this stuff and go, like, in the middle of it all. You see, the problem is if you're 2 degrees out in terms of separation at this point, as your life goes on, those 2 degrees just get really, really wide. And then you end up in a point going, how on earth do I believe this stuff? And so what you believe is vital for how you're going to live. Do you understand that? How you see something, how you receive it into your heart to believe it is critical in order to see that what the promise of that brings in your life. And so if we don't understand Jesus and his Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, if we don't understand this, and particularly through the lens of the covenant of God's grace, then I think, do you know what I think? I think many of us have probably struggled, you know, because we have been, frustrated, I guess, where we hear the word of grace and we hear the promise of grace, but we're still not living in the fullness. Anybody? Well, you all are living in fullness. Here, tell you what, do you just want to get up and preach? Because I'm ready to receive from the... But you get it. And I kind of go, that was the sense. And I said to Penny, we had made plans to do this other thing at the start of the year. And I said to Penn, and she wasn't very happy with it because we had this other plan. I went, I just have this sense actually in my gut that our church needs to know how to relate to Jesus and his finished work through his Holy Spirit, because that's how he set it up. And if you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, if you don't speak in tongues, then you're going to really enjoy this. There's a gateway into a deeper experience of God's power in your life that maybe some of you have never experienced, but we're going to do that. Is that okay? I can't feel like we're on that track. Well, if you don't like it, I don't know, listen to Creflo. He's on it this time of the morning as well. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this, but Creflo loves this stuff too at some point. I've heard him speak on it. I guess what it says in this, in Philemon, chapter 1, verse 6, still don't know how to say that book. It says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you. Now, this may sound just a wee bit like theology, but the truth of it is it's not. It's a heart revelation of how grace actually works in us to produce the fruit that we so desperately want to see. And so I hope this is making sense. Is it? Online, if it's making sense, drop us a note and say, this is good. Because this is going to determine your life in 2022. I'm going to start by leaning into grace. And in that place, exchanging and then declaring, right? The leaning into grace is turning towards the word of grace. So in your head and in your heart, when you're confronted with something going, remember I said, where do I turn to? So we lean into grace, but it's in that place actually of exchange where the Holy Spirit does his work. And so as I was preaching last week, I thought, now we're definitely onto something here. And the declaration from that place, that in that exchange of the weight of the world for the divine persuasion which is imparted, is actually how those words break down. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's not the work of you trying to mentally understand what grace means. It's about a heart connection, about a heart being kind of joined with the finished work of Jesus and you receiving, and that's the Holy Spirit at work in you. Now, that's really cool. Because I don't know about you, I don't want just words, do you? Dynamis, the God ability in me, I'm signing up for that. Like, just think, imagine for one moment with me. 2022, with God ability, God's life flowing right through you into everything that you touch and see. Just think for one moment what that would be like. Think about your homes. Think about your relationships. Think about your finance and your health. Think about your husband, your wife. Imagine, just imagine for a moment. Think about those things right now where you disconnect and you go, gee, or I wonder will there be breakthrough. Imagine what that would be like actually as a man or a woman walking into those situations or living in those situations and God's ability just working where you go, producing good fruit. Isn't that amazing? I go, yeah, I'm up for that. Sign me up. You had me at hello. All right? And so that is what this series is about. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ. Right? The old man crucified. It's no longer I who live, but who lives in me? Christ who lives in me. And so what we're going to do is, the Holy Spirit is separate to the Son, is separate to the Father, three in one, okay? But when Jesus, I'm going to explain this in 1 minute, when Jesus said he was going to go, all right, he says it in John 16:7. Actually, let me just say this. I tell you the truth, it's good for you that I'm going away, because unless I go away, the Counselor, that's the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And so what happens is, rather than having Jesus live with you, okay, so why did Jesus say it's better? Because they couldn't live with Jesus in them. They could only live with Jesus with them. See the difference? So when they were not physically present, it was much more difficult for them. Although he sends them out in 72s and all that kind of stuff to go and to do stuff, they were living with Jesus, but not Jesus in them. That's the difference. And so what we're going to learn to do is to go, it's Christ living in me. You think about it. If you're every time you look Let me give you what a spirit-empowered life looks like. Every time, if Christ is in you, every time that Jesus saw sickness, what happened? Every time. Come on, help me out. He healed it, right? Whenever light touches darkness, the darkness doesn't overcome the light, but the light overcomes the darkness. Isn't that right? Whenever Jesus saw lack, what happened? Did the lack win, or was there super profound abundant supply? Christ in you, touching these situations, the spirit of grace at work in your life. And there's nothing better. 2 Corinthians 3:6 says this: He's made us sufficient to be ministers of this new covenant of grace, not of the letter of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So what that means is zupeo is the word. And what it means is it's this image of God taking his life. So, you know, touching sickness, touching lack, touching anxiety, touching depression, and God infusing his life, okay, through you into those situations, boom, to see a change. And so what some of us are going to need to do is we're going to need to shift to go walking in grace and being led by the Spirit of grace is not learning more about what the theology says. Do you understand that? That's not what it's about. It's about understanding that all of these words are pointing me and showing me and leading me to a place of connection with Jesus himself. It's not walking about Jesus, knowing about Jesus, but his infused life in me so that no matter where I go, no matter what I touch, his life in me makes the difference. Amen? That's grace at work. So I think that's brilliant. So don't limit him. What I'm trying to say to you is this. I know that there are people in here who don't speak in tongues. You know, I speak in tongues every day. And I realize that's great for me. What good bully for you? And I go, and then the Lord started to speak to me. How many of these people are not speaking in tongues? One of the greatest gifts, if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I kind of go, it's been remiss of me actually over the last number of years not to make more of a point of teaching this very regularly. And so that's why I'm doing it now. Okay, at the top of the year. And so if I haven't given you that opportunity, genuinely, I apologize, but you're going to get it now. Because I realize for me, a lot of what I do every day is I listen, I tune in, I ask the Lord, what does this mean? And I realize that I'm walking with the Holy Spirit every day, right? I'm not learning grace. I don't listen to a talk, make notes of it, and go, I've learned grace. I go, Jesus, show me what this means. Help me to understand it. I want to live in it. I want to walk in it. And then I realized, actually, you know, being led this year, hearing God, making decisions, receiving is all a matter of being led by the Holy Spirit. So we need to learn how to do that as a church. Is that okay? Oh, cool. Right. So do you want to know some key? Is this okay? Are you encouraged this morning? Let me just give you a couple of builders just to make sure that you're encouraged today. Because I am the Holy. Who is this Holy Spirit then? Can we just kind of nail some things, and I'll give you some verses that are really important. This is where if you come to church, you know, it's really good just to bring a pen and paper with you. I'm going to encourage you to do that as we go through this, because I'll say some stuff here, and you'll forget it 15 minutes after you walk out. Take a note. Take a wee note and go, you know, because you're probably thinking, did I put that chicken on? Right? Or what am I having for dinner? I've warmed up a wee bit. You'd be nudging people. I've warmed up and miss it. Right. But the Holy Spirit's a person, number one. Now, if you think you know it all, think again. Remember, this is not about filling your head full of knowledge, but opening your heart to receive grace upon grace. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. That's the word koinonia. It means participation or communion. So what it means, you can't have communion and participation with a force. So the Holy Spirit is not it. It came like a bolt from the blue. The Holy Spirit is He, right? The third person in the Trinity. He is not a power that falls upon you to make you some like spiritual Jackie Chan, right? All right, sorry. I know I shouldn't say that, okay? But I've heard it said many times. It was really at work. The Spirit was really at work, so it was, right? The Holy Spirit is not a force that you simply harness in order to accomplish your own purpose, right? The Holy Spirit is the third part of God himself. He is a person who has relationships, not, you know, just with believers like you and me, but he's in relationship with God the Father, God the Son. And he is the, right now, he is the one that indwells us, right, as believers here on this earth until Jesus comes back. So he is a person. So never say it, or because it's not a kind of third party. We're not talking about a third party, nondescript something. This is God himself in you. Secondly, I want to say that the Holy Spirit is God. He's not lesser or more than. He's not different in any way. He is God. Do you know in the New Testament, the words for God and Spirit are used interchangeably? You might not have realized that. In Ananias and Sapphira is a good example. Acts 5, verses 3 to 4, it says that Peter says that you lied to the Holy Spirit, but it's actually the word God, right? And so what happens is there was no doubt in the early days that whenever the Holy Spirit was indwelling, equipping, and empowering you, that was God himself. Not a lesser God, a different bit of God, but God himself living, God infusing his life into you. So if you, in one sense today, I'm going to show you how I'm just laying the foundation, then we're going to show you how the Holy Spirit ministers grace. So the whole gateway and way of living with the Holy Spirit is through grace. He will lead you deeper into grace, deeper into a revelation of Jesus. It's brilliant. I'm going to show you stuff like, the Holy Spirit never... How do you know that you've encountered someone full of the Holy Spirit? Well, you walk away more enamored with Jesus than you do about them. Because the Holy Spirit said he wouldn't bring glory to anyone else. All this stuff that I used to think, your man's coming to church. Oh my word, we'll all be slaughtered on the floor. But and now when I look back with a wee bit more maturity, to be quite honest, I go, not a lot of the time were we enamored about Jesus and his finished work for us. But it was all about the man of God. That's cuckoo, man. That is just completely the wacko. I don't know about you. I don't want any of that. I want a bigger revelation of Jesus. I want to be more enamored with what he has done for me than anything else in the whole world. And I want you to walk out of here today enamored with Jesus, with a glimpse of how he loves me, a glimpse of his grace is amazing for me. You get that? And so the Holy Spirit will only ever bring glory to Jesus. We'll talk about that later on. Holy Spirit, and what we're going to say is this gift of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. The Holy Spirit is eternal, and the Holy Spirit is holy. It says in John 14:6, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. I'm going to talk about that, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. So not a flighty, whimsical being that comes and goes like the wind, but an eternal being. Do you know what I love about this? What this means is, no one, Jesus says, I'll be with you forever. I'll never leave you or forsake you. Every minute of every day of your waking life, I am right there for you. You know that stuff? You know this thing of, like, I just need to address it because many of us have it. It's like, the Holy Spirit was really there. Just really sense the Holy Spirit. Quite frankly, I think that is such, sometimes a subjective view. Let me tell you something. If we encountered God face to face, there would be no doubt that every one of us would encounter the same thing. Do you think anyone's going to stand in heaven before the throne of glory and go, not really feeling it? Can you imagine? The worship's all right. Oh, they're not doing that song again. Do you know what I mean? Don't you all that stuff? Is this too honest?
No.
That's good, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know that kind of, the meeting was powerful tonight. The Spirit was moving. I go, I have no doubt that you experienced something of God. I'm not saying that. But it's the same Spirit eternally for everyone. Do you get that? The reason why I'm telling you that is what religion will tell you, if you're not good enough, you'll miss the Spirit of God in your life. That is a complete lie. You are already qualified by Jesus today to receive that Spirit, and he is eternal. He's not flighty, not whimsical, not a will-o'-the-wisp, not like, oh, just be careful or he'll go. You know what I mean? Who had a bad thought? I felt the Spirit leave. All that stuff. I remember sitting in a meeting once, and somebody got like, pads of glory. Somebody said, somebody's just had a lustful thought for the... I felt the Spirit leave, and every wee lad, 15, going, oh, nightmare. Do you know what I mean? Seriously. I'm knackered. I'm never getting out of this one. Do I have any other thoughts that aren't lustful at this age? Do you know, it's all that stuff.
Don't open the windows, the Spirit will leave. Oh, jeez.
Can I just say, see today, see when you walk out of here, the Spirit of God himself is never going to leave you. Not for one second. He's eternal. From before the beginning, he was, and to the very end of time, he will be. His promise is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because he loves you, and because of what Jesus has done for you, every single day, he will love you, support you, encourage you, provide for you, heal for you. He will not come. He will not go. He will not leave you stranded. He will not ever not protect you. He is God eternal. Every second, whether you feel it or you don't feel it, whether it's, you know, you're getting the vibe or not, it's completely irrelevant, frankly. I want to tell you today that the Holy Spirit is eternal and holy. So you can walk out here today knowing God's in me and he ain't going to leave me. Isn't that good? I'll need to go quick. I love this. Do you know a good thing to remind yourself of? Romans 8:27 is the Holy Spirit has his own mind and he prays for you. I love this thought. In Romans 8:27 says, he who searches hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit. Because listen, the Spirit intercedes for the saints. Real life language, the Holy Spirit is praying for you and for me at this very moment. Interceding for us. And what is he interceding? According to the will of God. We're going to talk about this when it comes to praying in tongues. All right? Praying in the Spirit. But do you know what I love about that? Like, it's an amazing thought, isn't it? That when you don't know what to do, when you don't know where to turn this week, when you don't know whether you're stuffed or mounted up or down or how you're feeling about anything in particular, do you know what's a really good thing to remind yourself? At that very moment, God himself is praying for you. Well, just if your mind doesn't go, whoa, hold on. Run that past me again. That the Spirit of grace is praying for you according to the will of God. What's the will of God for you? To show you, right back to Exodus 9, to show you his power, to show you his life, to show you his healing, to show you his goodness, to show you his strength, to show you his provision, to show you the future. That's the will of God for you. That's why Jesus came, to show you grace. And what's really bonkers for you and me as believers, any point of the day, God himself is praying for you according to that will. Isn't that amazing? So if you're feeling sad or upset or lonely, if you're feeling anxious or worried, in one moment, like kind of fall into grace, fall backwards into the arms of the one who loves you forever and just go, when I can't even get the words, when I can't even say the words, when I don't even know what I want to say, God, when I don't even know how it's going to work out, and I've literally prayed myself to a standstill and I don't know what else is going on, in that moment, the Spirit of the Lord says, but I'm praying for you. Isn't that bonkers? I know, but I've got this wrong, and I've done that wrong, and I haven't quite measured up here. And he goes, I don't care. It's not about you anyway. It's about me, my heart for you, which is always to see you walk into the fullness of grace. And so where you can't pray, I'll pray for you. And in fact, even when you do pray, I'm still interceding according to the will of God. It's almost like you can't lose under grace, isn't it? Some of us need to encourage ourselves with this. I feel alone. I feel like it's never going to. Actually, you're never alone because the eternal Spirit of grace himself is always praying according to the will of his Father for you. Oh, man. That's bonkers, isn't it? I want to say this last thing. The Holy Spirit is, there's three big O words here, right? But I need to say it. Omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, right? Matthew 19, let me make this dead simple because we're up for time. Matthew 19:26 says this, but Jesus looked at them and said, with men, this is impossible. But all things are possible with God. So all knowing, all present, and all powerful. God, remember, this is not lesser than God himself. Do you know the God who Moses couldn't look at for fear? That he would be burnt to a crisp, right? The one where he would take his shoes off because he was on holy ground. The ark that we love that they carried across the Jordan, but you couldn't come near it to touch it. In the temple and in the tabernacle, where God is separated from man because even one glimpse of the glory of God would eviscerate you forever.
You know this all-powerful God, the one who at the very beginning just spoke and all of this came into existence, the one who says that no matter what is coming through the whole end of time, I hold the whole universe and all the universe is in the palm of my hand, right? That's what Jesus is talking about here. Do you know that God-infused life? It's no less than that. Do you get that? I feel excited by that. That is a transformational thought about my world today. Is to go, no matter where I turn up, that God, the one who under law you could never come close to, but now under grace, you have him living in you, praying for you, staying with you, and Jesus himself going, when you look at it through your own power and your own effort, it's impossible. Think about those impossible things in your world right now, and you go, it is impossible. I've tried it, I've done it, I've walked it, and it's not shifted. But Jesus says, but all things with an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient spirit of grace in you, everything is possible. It changes the whole dynamic of how you live. It changes the whole dynamic of what you see, and it'll change the whole trajectory of your life this year and beyond. The empowerment of grace through the spirit of grace. I guess let me just finish. I'm encouraged. It's going to be a good series, isn't it? Brilliant. Having said all that, what's the goal? What's the goal? I am believing that some of you are going to have an encounter, a fresh encounter with Jesus as you receive again, some of you, the Holy Spirit in your life. I believe that some of you are going to be have a transformation even in terms of your prayer life and what that looks like. Where we start to align ourselves and pray with the Spirit of God. But Ephesians 3:20 says this. And so what's the whole point of these next few weeks? Well, the whole point is this. Ephesians 3:20 says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, this is God the Father, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit. Not just through doctrine, not just through sermonizing, not just through, but you would be, so strengthened with might. That's now God, that's the God-infused life I talked about earlier on, same word. Through his Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart through just believing in him. And as you get rooted and grounded in love, you'll be able to understand what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height. To know the love of God. That word there, to know, how can you know something which passes knowledge? Two different words. Genosko, to experience the love of God, which goes beyond that which just sits in your head. That's what that verse means. He uses two words. So that as the Spirit of grace himself lives in you, what is the Spirit of grace going to do? Lead you deeper and deeper and further into a revelation and experience of his love for you. And in that place, not just so your head's filled, but that your heart and your life are flowing with the fullness of grace. So that you will be filled, pleru, filled to overflowing with all of God's goodness. Who's signing up for that in 2022? Let me see those hands. Online, church, isn't that amazing? We're going to allow the Lord to encounter us so that he leads us to more grace this year. Stand to your feet, if you wouldn't mind, as opposed to stand to something else. Can we have some tracks of glory there and communion? Worship, guys, if you want to get ready as well, come up on stage. What about you do? We're going to take communion together and we're going to take, what are we going to do? We're going to have our offering, we're going to worship. But just settle your hearts for 1 minute, okay? I just felt, even when I was speaking there, like the Lord wants you to go out of here with a supernatural sense of safety, security, and peace today. I believe that. I believe that comes whenever his grace, his Spirit working in you, encourages your heart that he has got you, that he has gone before you, and that he is leading you this week. From grace to grace, glory to glory. Any situations that you've carried in here this morning that have weighed heavy on your heart, that have been heavy on your shoulders, So right now, just those things that have come to mind to you today, I just pray right now in Jesus' name that you would have a revelation of God's life in you, of God's life in that person, and that you would be able to rest in the knowledge today that right now, at this very moment, the Spirit Himself is praying for you. He's speaking words of life. He's declaring truth over you. He is, at this very moment, speaking promise and healing and breakthrough and restoration. He's speaking provision. He's speaking hope again. He's speaking freedom in your thoughts, freedom in your body. He's speaking hope and purpose. He's from the very beginning of time when God created you, when God had you in His mind, the Spirit of the Lord now is calling that out over you. He's speaking that which is not as though it really was, as it says in the book of Romans. He's now, at this moment, declaring to God Himself, to the Father Himself, who you are and what you have been made for. So don't be afraid. Rest this year, and as Pastor Prince was saying last week, see an acceleration of grace in your life as you rest in that truth. And so, Father, I pray that over this church. I pray that over everyone watching online. In Jesus' name, rest and acceleration over you in 2022 as you learn to listen, cooperate, walk, and move with God Himself, His Holy Spirit in you, leading you to grace. Amen. So, Father, we take the bread this morning, Lord, and we say, thank you. Come on, church, why don't we say it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your body broken. Lord, for the stripes on your back, which means that we, as we lean into that, Lord, we exchange this morning sickness and tiredness, dysfunction, disease. We exchange brokenness. Father, and as we lean in right now, Lord, we declare that we are whole, healed, and delivered in Jesus' name because of your body broken for us. Amen. And Father, we thank you for the cup. Lord, every curse is over your life has been broken. Do you know that, church? Every single curse. You are the righteousness of God in Christ this morning. He loves you with an everlasting love. He says this morning that you are holy, blameless, set apart. He's not angry, disappointed, or upset with you. He loves you in every single way. And Father, that's all because of your blood poured out. So Jesus, thank you for your blood poured out. Father, we receive and we drink in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid in these days about giving. It's good to give. It positions you for blessing and reminds you that actually God is your source. So we believe in this church in tithing. We believe in giving. We'll even be generous. We have so much testimony of God's provision. I'll tell you what the spirit of the world is right now. It's fear. You're not going to have enough. You're going to be knackered, all the rest of it. But you've just heard this morning that God Himself is praying over you His purpose. And what was His purpose? That you would see Koach, His ability in you, and everyone else would see it too. Church, you're going to shine bright this year with the grace of Jesus in your life. Do you know that? When the world is darker and more afraid, you as a church are called to shine brighter with the power of the Spirit of grace in you. So let's be generous in our giving, and let's do that.